Dealer just blessed the beat. Everybody, it's Shauna the Songbird,
and this is Shari,
and welcome to episode 11 of Why the Songbird Sings. Shahari, what is new with you, darling?
First of all, did you have to add the Mariah Carey ending in the intro? Wasn't necessary. Wasn't needed.
You know, I was just jamming to Mariah, like, in my solitude, and so I guess it kind of just transitioned over into the recording. I'm so sorry.
It was good. As far as what's going on with me, I finally moved in.
Praise.
Yesterday. Praise. And I'm so grateful to all the people that helped me. Shout out to WDR, the movers that helped me move in, Maid a la Mode, the people that came in and cleaned my house, and Delta Jump Removal, who helped remove that person's stuff that they left in my house. Since it was an as-is sale, that means they can leave their stuff in there, and I had to deal with it. But it was fine. You know, it was fine, and it's all together. I moved in, and I basically have almost a fully furnished house because of that, because I kept some of her stuff. It's fine. But we'll bless it. And it'll be good. Until I get some new stuff next year.
But I still could have gotten a good cussing out.
Well, we're going to... Our devotional goes over that today.
Oh, my God. Look at Jesus.
So what's going on with you?
Nothing. So we are actually in the same room again. So this is fun. I kind of like the chemistry better when it's like in person, to be honest.
It's only natural that it would be better in person.
I mean, that is true. And hopefully you're not as nervous as you were last episode.
Don't apologize.
It's common. It's normal. It's all right. I'm just happy that you are relaxed. You're sipping your teacup. And, you know, it's beautiful. But yeah, I'm super excited because we're here for a friend's wedding. And yeah, it's going to be super fun. Other than that, I have just been trying to get ready for my move back to New York City.
She's really excited about that. She just loved New York.
I mean, like, the Black queer community up there is like none other that I have experienced in other cities that I have lived in, like, in these few years, I guess. Yeah, it's been a few years now. Like, the music, everything is up there. Some food is good. I mean, I have to come back to the South for my soul food and my
sweet tea.
Right. Right, because
crawfish,
everything that is fattening, full of butter, sugar, and with an extra pinch of salt, I have to come back to the South for. But other than that, like, I love New York City. I loved California while I lived there as well. So we'll see. Hopefully I'll be there during the winter. we'll see how it goes. And I've been dating. That has been interesting.
Have you been dating?
It's interesting. I know I talk about white people a lot in a negative fashion. but I have been dating a white man, and it's quite interesting. Especially when we go out, and like when we go out and like when he like holds my hand and stuff, it's like we get stared at, and I don't know exactly how to feel about life because yeah, it's kind of weird being stared at, and then don't let us hug in public, because then cars start honking literally on our, I want to say our second or third date. We were leaving the movies, and we had just got finished talking. I was leaning against my car and whatnot, and he came for a hug, and we had a good old hug, nice and warm and fuzzy. And literally every car that came by was honking.
Was it a good honk?
I assume, but we were in Missouri, so I don't know, was it like a good honk, like, woohoo, yay, or was it like, you're hugging an N-word. Why are you doing this in public? But I don't know. We'll see. I already met his like brother and best friends and whatnot. And so it's...
Is this the same person you were talking about this whole time?
Yep.
Oh.
So, it's... Oh. Not this look on your face. Not the look. So we're going to see, like, how it goes and where it goes, because it's different. Very, very different.
It's good. A new experience, just like me going, I don't think I've ever been to Cincinnati, Ohio, but you said it's going to be fun, and you said you bought some gummies, so is that why it's going to be fun, or?
Well, no, because, I mean, it's going to be a whole bunch of...
People I don't know.
Yes. I mean, same. I only know the bride and the groom, so it's gonna be a fun time.
I might partake in those gummies.
Oh, honey, I've been clean for like what, 2 months or a month and a half now. I am acting a fool. By acting a fool, I mean when I'm high, I sit back in a corner and I shut my mouth and then I go to sleep.
That's boring.
That's what happens when I get in a sunken place.
Yeah, at least enjoy colors.
I don't see colors. I feel like I get hypersensitive, so like I feel everything more, and like I'll start like feeling the air and feeling my breath and really like overly sensitive to,
and
like,
that pursuits me.
It does,
feeling all those things.
Yes.
So you just drown it out, basically.
No, like, it's like everything's like caressing me and...
Oh, so it's like a godly hug. Got
yes. It. Exactly. Anyways, but, yeah, so it's gonna be a fun time. We're having a fun time. I've been having a fun time. And...
Yeah, I've never had mofongo. We had that.
Oh, yeah.
The yuca root on it with the pork and the pico de gallo and habanero sauce. And it didn't tear up my stomach, so it was good.
Oh, that's a blessing, because I had to shit right after I ate.
You do that every time.
Yes. My little mofongo.
Almost every time.
90% of the time.
Just from drinking water.
Anyways. We're gonna move past that, because also we do have an outing to go to in a little bit, so I don't know if that is the central time or if that is okay. All right, cool. So anyways, let's go to reflections. It was magnetic. It was accidental. It was innocent. It was new. A moment for us to be free and silly and young. Open the door that you continue to open. The late nights, our hands entangled as our bodies remain closed for warmth. It was something about your eyes that pulled me in comfort and safety. We would fly around the neighborhood together, laughing, smiling, and at times seeing like we would never come down. You never imagine how electrifying a brief moment caressing the chest of a stranger while he lifts your leg around his waist would be. As soon as he was so caring yet firm with your body, you felt a feeling you'll experience over and over again. Don't be afraid of the feeling, because it is normal and it can be fun. That feeling was the fuel that of the desires of many and will motivate the Hallmark films of your adulthood. I miss the naivety of youth, but I fully value the ability of wisdom. It's okay to live more than in the moment, because everyone is not meant to stay around in your life, no matter how beautiful the moments. With that said, enjoy, you young, curious being, and be ready to constantly let go. I'm forever yours. Shauna the Songbird.
All right. That was a story. And I don't know if I want to know where this reflections came from. But there was one thing that got me in there.
Okay, I'm scared.
If I can find it. First, tell about what was happening for the kids. For the kids.
Like I was saying, I was listening to Mariah Carey in the room, and I was listening to Neo first. I was listening to Neo first, and she said something, and I forgot exactly what she said, and it kind of made me go into a moment into my past. And then I started listening to Mariah Carey's Rooftop.
More and more emotional stuff. Yes.
Mariah Carey's Rooftop from the Butterfly album. And I remember in her autobiography, she talked about how that song was an actual experience when technically she was kind of cheating on her husband, I guess. It's complicated. People who actually know her life would know why it was complicated, as I would say she was cheating on her husband. And where she had a simple kiss with someone who she admired and who also admired her. So it brought me to a memory of when I was in high school, and it was spring break, senior year, me and my two best friends, we were at, they just opened this park in Birmingham, and we were, and we're just walking around, and so one of my friends, she really enjoyed modeling, and so she had like this like punk, rock, urban type look going on with her outfit. The other best friend was very like casual, very simple, and at the time I was also very casual. This was before I grew into my extraness.
Definitely.
While you,
I've never seen you casual.
While you over here with this look on your face, I will probably show you the pictures of that day later, because my phone isn't near me. But and so I enjoyed taking pictures of her and like helping her doing different things with like her modeling and whatnot, and we also helped with some of her exposure in modeling. So it was a fun time. So as we were walking around, we saw these group of skaters. They were black skaters, and coincidentally, it was three of them. A short, dark-skinned one, and by short, I mean they were taller than me, but still relatively short for men. A tall, light-skinned one, and a medium height, probably like around your height.
He's talking about his brown skin.
Yeah, he was brown
skin. He had all the damn colors of black rainbow in
there. I mean, but also we were all the colors of the black rainbow, because I was the darker skin one. The other best friend was a little bit lighter than me. And then my other best friend was the light one. So literally, like, we had, like, our, like, mirror opposites, in a sense. So I was like, we were going around taking pictures around the park, and I was like, it would be such a good picture if you posed with the skaters with her outfit. She's an introvert, and so she's not really good with like walking up to people and talking to people. So of course they pushed me to be the,
because you are not an introvert.
To be the talker of the group. And so I was like, okay. And then their group also had the short one, and their group was the talker as well. So
match made in heaven, huh?
Right.
For
so
the moment. For the moment.
I was like, remember Reflections for a moment.
That led to adult movies. Yeah.
not like that. Anyways, but and so we went to I asked them, like, hey, can you take a picture with my homegirl? It'll be nice, it'll be cute, it'll be fun. And so the leader, he looked at the other two, and they looked at us, and they was like, okay, sure. So so I posed everybody how I wanted them. And then I was like, I was like, girl, how would you feel if you got on the short one? Because the short one had his shirt open and whatnot. He had a little, six pack and whatnot. So I was like, go ahead, get on. And she was like, I don't know what to do. Oh no. And so,
as she should have. That's very good. It's good to keep your innocence as long as you can.
So then I was like, being at the time more masculine presenting, I didn't know his comfortability of me actually showing him what I wanted her to do, which was for her to put her leg up on him, her hands like on his back and chest, and have him like hold her at the same time. And like turn and look at me over the shoulder. That's what I wanted. And so I was like, do you mind if I demonstrate whatever? And so I did it. And then when I did it, it was like the way he had touched me, it wasn't like, I feel like most cishet men probably would not touch another masculine person the firm but caring feeling that he like touched me. And then he gave me like a look afterwards, and I was like, this is awkward and uncomfortable, so I'm gonna get off of you and I'm gonna let her get over here. And so that's how it began. And then after that, we walked away, we saw them again, and then we was like, and I was like, hey, can you teach us how to skateboard? And so that was when I had got into skateboarding and longboarding, and she was pretty much just faking so she can get with the tall one. I was actually trying to learn, but also it was interesting because the short one, he gravitated towards me, and then the last one I had mentioned, he had went to the other friend, and it was a moment. We exchanged.
So y'all didn't mix the colors at all? Y'all just made blocks of...
No, we did mix, because me and the short one were the only, like, dark ones together. But the light skin and the browns switched. Oh. Yeah. So we did mix the colors. Except for the dark. The dark is meant to be pure.
Okay. That's your take on it.
I'm not going to play with you. Not today. But anyways, then from there, we began hanging out. It was a moment like this where it's like rainy and cloudy and we were like skateboarding and all this kind of stuff. And pretty much the moments of us flying was us going through the neighborhood skateboarding. And then he would teach me to do tricks and we would go down the hills like super fast. And it was just a very invigorating moment for me. And then we had shared a kiss in the back seat of my best friend's car while she was in the front seat with his best friend. And so it was interesting. So it was just like from there, it's like in my adulthood, I had these picturesque experiences. That's why I said the Hallmark movie type situations.
Stretch.
Don't do that.
That was a stretch.
But like I was telling myself, part of me did not want to like fully give into it because it just seemed too good and like something that I really didn't want to end. So like I kind of like didn't like really fully give and release all of myself in the moment. And so just telling myself to, you know, just give into it and go into the moment fully because none of the moments are going to last. So enjoy them. I mean, I enjoy them because they're still beautiful pictures in my mind. But yeah. So that was my reflections. Now, what was the part that you were talking about?
The movies.
Oh, the movies. Okay. Yeah, it's just, it's nothing bad whatsoever.
Yeah, it's just you. And I'm used to the old you. You've matured, so.
Jesus, like.
I'm still trying to catch up.
Damn. Like, but no, I'm talking about, like, cute, beautiful moments. Holding hands, pushing on the swing.
And I'm not the only one that's going to think that when they hear that.
Like, I mean, I said Hallmark film. Have you watched Hallmark movie?
Is Shauna a Hallmark film?
You know what? I said Hallmark. I didn't say BET. I didn't say HBO.
Tyler Perry.
I didn't say Tyler Perry. God knows. God knows that end up in a Tyler. My scenes will probably end up in a Tyler Perry film. Just twisted and warped. Something terrible. But anyways. But yeah. That is me. So, can you turn around and gather yourself with some pure thoughts and give us some words of light?
Welcome to the Word of Light, Words of Light segment with Shahari. Today, we're going to talk about letting God fight your battles. So we've all been in a fight. I mean, most recently, something happened at my job that I talked to Shauna about. I am, you know, an orchestral librarian, and I have to build the parts for the music. As for the strings, they're all moving in the same place. So I have to coordinate with the principals because I copy their bowings onto the rest of the music. So I have to coordinate with the principals and get their bowings in, and I give deadlines for when I would like for them to be done with the bowings. Now there was something that happened. This particular principal, the first time I'd asked him to email me when he was done with his bowings, he did not. And then, so I give reminders. And the reminder went out, and then the due date came, and he did not have them done. And another week, over a week went by, so I finally emailed him a very nice email, and he responded very shadefully, very snarky comment, and I was truly upset. But I did not say what I wanted to say.
Fuck that motherfucker.
And from those comments, from those emails, he finally turned in the Boeings, because apparently his pride was hurt from my nice emails, because he knew he was in the wrong.
Dumbass.
It's fine.
Bitch ass motherfucker.
So that's like a situation. That was a fight. But just, we have to realize what we're really fighting against.
Motherfuckers.
This is the Word of Light segment. So let's try to take the world out of this segment for the time being, right?
I'll try. Okay. But he needed a good cussing out.
And we don't do that. We don't do that.
So we will continue to agree and disagree on that.
The scripture for today is from Ephesians 6 and 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, because we are spiritual beings. Therefore, we must fight in the spirit. So it was that principle, he had a spirit on him, and that's what caused him to react the way he did, because I did not give any, that email should not have provoked him to that degree. It should not have, but it did. So just realize that we are spiritual beings, and what we're really fighting against are the spirits and the powers in the darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, because that's what causes the problems. That's the root of the problems, and that's what's actually going to help fix the problems. Okay. So, alright. Shauna.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
Let the Lord's will be done in your life.
Baby, I'm sorry. He would have had something physical on him. Oh, it would have had to been physical. I'm sorry.
Well.
Oh, verbal. Verbal. Something physical and verbal, darling. But anyways, I'm so sorry. All right, I'm centered. Take us away.
Very good. So, I found this devotional, and it is coming from ChristianityToday.com. This is a Christian Bible studies. So, when God fights your battles, Satan is good at being bad. Knowing our weaknesses, he camps out with bated breath, just waiting for his chance to launch his missiles. And he does it with extreme accuracy. The good news is we can begin to recognize his tactics and watch his attempts be thwarted. How? By saturating ourselves with scripture. By reading about the triumphs of those who stumbled before us. By believing God is bigger than Satan's best shots. Remembering why the enemy continues to hit us where he does is essential. Here are some weak spots. If we become increasingly aware of our areas of struggle and rely on God's strength in those areas, eventually they will not be the targeted areas. The only reason they are revisited is because Satan has success there. It's a spiral that we can get out of. We need to believe that God is bigger than those areas of our lives. The truth is, God is bigger than any weakness we have. In the book Boundaries, Townsend and Cloud tell a story about a man who continually goes down a street and falls into a hole. The story, paraphrased, goes like this. A man would go down the street, see a hole, and fall in. The next day, the man walked down the street and saw the hole and fell in again. The third day, the man partially changed his route, but eventually still fell in the hole. The fourth day, he altered his route a little bit, then looked back and fell in the stubborn hole. Finally, when the man became tired of his failure, he decided to walk on the other side of the street. Enough was enough. He stopped thinking he could do it. Many of us still think we can. When we keep trying to get different results by doing the same thing, others recognize it as insanity. We think we are persevering. Look at God's record. It's helpful in our battles to remember God's track record. He has proven himself in each of our lives. I need to remember what he did in my life because that's the life I'm living. And while I can learn from the stories of others, it's important to look back and see his faithfulness to me. David went against Goliath, not because he was feeling particularly giant strong one day, but he remembered God was with him, the very same God who gave him strength when he stood eye to eye with a bear, the same God who showed up when a lion crossed his path. David's trust needed to be in the right place, in God. Once that was established, he stepped out. And when Saul tried arming David with something that might have worked for Saul, David dismissed it, not merely because of the obvious, the poor fit, but because God was the one who would do the fighting and the fight's armor free. All is not some. Satan is a word twister. He did it in the garden when Eve was in the mood for a piece of fruit, and he still does it today. He has found we are more apt to swallow half-truths than blatant lies. When we choose to trust God and start walking in faith, Satan whispers that God can do a lot. He can even do many things, but not all things. But Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man that he should lie. If God said all things, then that's exactly what he meant. Challenges teach us two things, something about God and something about us. If we choose to believe that God will give us the victory, we will see ringside just how powerful God is. If, instead, we choose to trust in our own strength or intelligence, we will quickly see how inadequate we are. We need to truly believe John 15:5, which says that we can do nothing apart from him. Remember, grace is new every morning. One thing I love about God's grace is how fresh it is. We don't have to subsist on yesterday's leftovers, adding a little more of this or that, hoping it will be enough for what we face today. We don't have to beg, borrow, or steal someone else's grace because ours is depleted from the day before. As each day unfolds, we have a fresh supply of grace. God knows what I will encounter today since he has already been here. He is the God of all time. He's never caught off guard by our trials. He's always at his post, ever ready. So I can get up, wipe the sleep from my eyes, and know with certainty that I will have enough grace for whatever he places before me. Remember, I did not say I will have enough grace for tomorrow. There's a big difference. Many times I worry about the things in the future and wonder why I don't have the resources to deal with them. The Cliff Note answer is that if it's not in our present, it's not on God's list for us today. If I want to be a responsible Christian, it means I need to respond to what God wants me to do, limiting myself to only what he puts before me. God knows how much grace to dispense to me, just as he supplied the Israelites with the right amount of manna. If they tried stockpiling it, it was ruined. God is the ultimate transformer. God is in the renovation business. He takes wounded sinners who are weak, and instead of just obliterating the weak spots, he camps out there. He strengthens us in the areas we need, becoming what we lack. And he does it for a couple of reasons. One of them, he loves us. Look in the mirror. See that person before you with the doubting eyes? Well, he not only created that person, fashioning each and every detail, counting each single hair, but he genuinely loves the person reflected before you. Another reason, he is God. He will get the glory. He is the only one who deserves the glory. The more obvious it is that you don't have what it takes to be victorious, the more you can trust that he will step in. He's the God of the final hour, the last curtain, the impossibilities. He loves it when we stand with gaping mouths, recognizing what he did. So why not give him every opportunity to show us? We have a choice. We can continue to try to do things in our own strength, peter out, and falter, or we can recognize, as it says in 2 Chronicles 20:15, that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is his, but the victory is ours. If we let God fight our battles, we'll always be on the winning side. I'm going to end this in prayer. Faithful God, Help us to trust you in these times of uncertainty. Let us rest on your words of comfort. When we are weak and overcome with fear and doubt, help us to feel your presence. Remind in our inner hearts your words to fear not, to rest assured that today you promise that you will fight our battles. We're going to end with Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. So, you know, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those were your words of light with Shahari. Go forth and prosper.
Fun time with adding your background. I might add some vocals to it.
And I never listened to them.
Yeah, see how he does me? You see what he do to me? Just rude. Anyways. Next is our business shout out. So, since we are here for a wedding, and I am about to, be dolled and painted, I feel like it was only perfect to give a shout-out to Rihanna's Fenty Beauty and Fenty Skin line. Rihanna was inspired to create Fenty Beauty and Fenty Skin after years of experimenting the best of the best in beauty and still seeing a void in the industry for products that performed across all skin types and tones. Starting with Fenty Beauty Foundation, Face Primer, and Gloss Balm, she launched the makeup line so that people everywhere would be included, focusing on a wide range of traditionally hard-to-match skin tones, creating formulas that work for all skin types, and pinpointing universal shades from Pro Fits Soft Matte Foundation, Hydrating Foundation, and Powder Foundation that changed the game with 50 inclusive shades, to the Fan Fave Concealer and Setting Powder, to the wide shade range of cream blush. Fenty Beauty products are designed to feel lightweight and love to be layered. Most importantly, Rihanna makes makeup to inspire. Makeup is there for you to have fun with, she says. It should never feel like pressure. It should never feel like a uniform. Feel free to take chances and take risks and dare to do something new or different. Not sure where to start? Take their foundation shade finder quiz and get matched with unique shade recommendations based on your skin tone. Get your essentials all in one by clicking Shopping Our Sets plus Travel Kits. After changing the beauty game, she decided to take over the skincare world. Starting with cleanser, toner, and moisturizer, she launched Fenty Skin to create amazing products that really work, that are easy to use, and everyone can get in on. So I had to shout out Fenty Beauty because I love her brand as a dark-skinned femme person that wears makeup. It's quite hard for me to find the proper shade for me. And that also complements my undertones. And so Fenty Skin, well, Fenty Beauty is one of the few makeup brands that I have used that actually works well, stays on for hours, and yeah, it's just a good, just good products. I don't know about the skin because I do my own skin routine with my own, with like my own serums and layering my own serums. And Fenty Skin is more like combining serums and having like an easier, like all-in-one type situation. So I personally have not dived into the Fenty Skin, but as far as the makeup, I have used the foundations, concealers, and all, and the lips and whatnot, and hands down, will recommend to the femmes, the masculines, whoever wants to use the products, I recommend. All right, so Shahari, are you prepared for our discussion?
Sure, let's go for it. I've looked at it.
I want to say, I find it interesting that this time your words of light did not match my reflections, but it did match the discussion. And so, once again, look at God, because literally, guys and gals and people, we came from the road and literally, like, both just went into separate rooms and got the show together.
Yeah.
So it's but it is still, I don't know, I still enjoy this. This is still fun, even if we do it like sparingly in the moment. These moments. Anyways, so I thought about while listening to a song in the car. I was listening to a lot of musicals, and I forgot which song exactly, but it was talking about like generational issues, and it made me think about generational curses. And and it's something that especially with the Black community, we have discussed and talked about in our homes and in church and all these types of things. So Shahari, what is to you a generational curse, and what do you think is actual definition?
Generational curse could be a lot of things. It could be poverty, mental illness,
not necessarily what is a generational curse, but what is the definition of a generational curse?
Okay, you asked two different questions. So now, what is the definition of generational curse? Something that affects the whole family or their bloodline. Typically seems to, everybody seems to have the issue, or several people seem to have the issue.
Right. So like in the Bible, it talks about a curse being a punishment of sin. So if you look at it in that sense, then a generational curse is purely a punishment of sin that goes, like you said, throughout generations of the lineage of the people. And then you already started telling me some examples of generational curses. So you said poverty. What else would you lump into generational curse?
Mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
The way, lack of either motherhood or fatherhood.
Mm-hmm. That's one I didn't think of.
There's so many things. Mental illness, physical illness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, some people could even argue that be ready to edit this out if you don't like it.
Oh, Lord.
They could argue that homosexuality could be a generational curse.
Wait, not Exactly. Wait, homosexuality being generational curse. I want to meet these people who will argue that, because it's, I don't.
Yeah, the older generation suppressed it more than the newer generation, just to let you know.
I mean, yes, that is true, but like, I just don't see like a generation.
Of course, it has morphed and evolved into other
things. Of course, but I don't see like, it's not common for you to see a family with generations of queer people. Like, actually blood related queer people.
Well, nothing is new under the sun.
I know nothing is new, however.
But I did say some people could argue that.
I mean, yes. That is quite different. I would love to, like, hear people's, like, thought process as far as, like, how they come to think such things. Anyways, that could be a whole nother show. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Not today.
I don't want to go down.
Not today. Mm-mm. I need time to do my makeup. I don't have time to talk 2 hours about that. Anyways, but yeah. Examples that were given were mental and physical illness, poverty, and you mentioned family structures and whatnot. Those things can be considered in mental illness. I will keep the homosexual thing in there because it's different and it's thought provoking. However, everyone just know that I don't understand it. If you are one of the people that kind of agree with such and or see how it is, feel free to send us an email at whythesongbirdsings@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook at whythesongbirdsings. And you can even DM us on Instagram at whythesongbirdsings as well. I will be interested to read your responses, and Shahari will look at them and I will respond to them.
Just
being honest. That is typically how it goes. So to you, what are, like, I guess we can do them systematically of the things that you've mentioned. So you mentioned mental illness. What do you think can be done to help cure the generational curse of mental illness?
Well, that involves you having a relationship with the father, mm-hmm. the son. You know, you have to go to the son to get to the father, mm-hmm. and asking that this will be done in your life. Mm. We can go deeper into that, but just for the basics, you just need to have a relationship with the Almighty.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you on that. I would like to add that you can have the Lord, and you can have Jesus, and you can have medications and therapy as well.
Yes.
Because the Lord puts things in place and puts resources in place for you. Mm-hmm. Everything on earth is placed for your use.
But then also realize some of the scriptures that we just went over, He fixes all things.
Yes. But just because you're using the resources does not mean that you don't have faith. Mm-hmm. Because
we're not saying that. No, we're not saying that.
Of course. Like, you can have faith in Him and He can guide you to someone who can help you in your journey of becoming better.
And also, a note, just make sure that person that's helping you is aligning with your faith.
Yes.
If they are not aligning with your faith, you don't need to be talking to that person.
Correct. You know, I thoroughly believe the Lord gives us the power of discernment and to be able to really figure out who is for us and who is against us. Sometimes the enemy can step in and whatnot, but then also, though, I feel like those moments are a part of the journey, and can make you lean even heavier upon him and listen and really look for his lead in what you need to do. But at the same time, I feel like you have to make yourself accessible for that. Because if you're not accessible for it, like you said, you have to open yourself up to him first. So ultimately, open yourself up to him and then follow him.
Yeah, because sometimes God's not going to do anything until you literally ask.
Right. Faith without works is dead. People always say it. And I think people don't realize that the scripture is really saying, like, you have this faith, but also you got to do something behind the faith. You have to help yourself in addition to leaning on to his word and understanding and his direction.
Now, as far as where some of these problems, these generational curses come from, just realize that what we fight against, all the stuff, it comes from hell, all the diseases, the mental illness and stuff, that's not what God has for you.
Correct.
So just realize that.
It's a spiritual
attack.
Right.
But you don't think of it as that, but that's truly what it is. And that's the purpose of
getting to the root of the problem. I thought you was going to keep... I was going to say, are you going to finish your statement?
The purpose of getting to the root of the problem is your attack is in the spirit. So he does lead you to doctors and therapists, and there are medications, but just realize you are not meant to stay in that state your whole life.
Right.
Including poverty. He wants to bless you.
We haven't got to that yet.
Okay, my bad.
We're going section by section from what you stated, sir. Oh,
my bad.
Jesus, what's in your teacup, sir? Put it away. It's
water.
Water my asshole. Anyways.
Gross.
Anyways. So that's how we kind of like come to terms as far as like mental illness. Now, what about did you say physical illness?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think, like, what is your thought as far as like breaking that type of generational, oh my bad, I'm gonna say a good way where to start as far as like finding like doctors and resources for mental illness, I would definitely recommend looking at if you have what's the thing that we need, that we use and pay too much money for, insurance. If you have insurance, definitely start there and look at what facilities and what providers are available in your area first. And definitely while you do that, make sure that you are really thinking about sitting with, looking at reviews, praying on, some people even recommend fasting on whether who to go to and who you feel like will align with your movements and your purpose and your
I ain't got nothing for you.
I can't think of the word. Anyways, but yeah, definitely try that just to start. Also, if you currently have a church home, your church should have a person in place to speak with you to outside of like praying for you and also like helping you with like daily devotionals and this and the other. Spiritually, they should be able to have access and or find out where you can go to that can help benefit you in addition to your spiritual journey as well. So yeah, so definitely, as for starting, look into those places first. And like I said, and like we both agreed on, to like remember to always center yourself, go to him, pray on it, fast on it, and hopefully it would be not as rough of a process as if you were going into it blindly and just frustrated and whatnot by the enemy.
And if you have insurance, I need to do this myself. I need a physical. You know, how do you know if anything is wrong if you don't go to the doctor? You know? And are we still on physical mental illness and stuff?
That was mental illness. Now we're on physical, yes. Okay. So now you answered how you can, one way of like starting with physical, okay, English, and I'm not even the one drinking.
Water.
Yes. You mentioned how you can help break the physical generational curse, or an example of it, which is utilizing your insurance. You pay too much damn money to not use it.
A lot.
And like you said, you don't know what's wrong with you unless you actually utilize it and get checkups and whatnot. Because once again, the Lord puts things in place for our benefit down here.
Am I adding something?
I thought you was going to give me like other ways of breaking physical.
Well, also, speaking on breaking physical, you know, we take communion. There are benefits to taking communion, and that is supernatural protection and also supernatural healing. Now, of course, you have to have the faith for that. But also, just reading in 1 Corinthians 11,
Daniel, pause.
1 Corinthians 11:29. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. That also kind of talks about what you're eating. So if you're eating a bunch of trash food, you're more likely of getting sick because of the food that you're eating. So that's another way. Also, eating certain foods can help you break that physical illness that you may have.
Correct. Definitely, especially in the Black American household, we are really cursed with diabetes and hypertension, and I think another thing they added to the list is colon cancer. We're at higher risk of colon cancer because we show minimum to no symptoms, and part of that is because oftentimes we don't think about getting our colons checked and whatnot. I'm not even going to talk about how some people be like, no one's going to put something up my butt and blah, blah, blah. Please stop that. Please. Please bring that generational curse up. No, I'll talk about that later because you have brought it up. I'll talk about it a little bit later. Anyways, but just remaining abreast of, one, what is your ethnicities, what's the term, be aware of the illnesses that your ethnicity is more susceptible to. So for Black Americans, it is more so hypertension, diabetes, heart failure, heart disease. Even when it comes to like, even though like we can't help it, a lot of Black Americans do have sickle cell or sickle cell trait. Also like being aware of like, if you carry the trait, if you and if your partner has it, to where you can kind of like think about reproducing and kind of helping out as we are, as people are looking for cures for these natural phenomenons. Like for Caucasians, cystic fibrosis, if you have that trait, and whatnot, be aware of it. Congestive heart failure, for Americans in general. Just really think about what you're more susceptible to. I think, I think Asians is like, they're more susceptible to kidney disorders. I think that's it. It's something that they're like a little bit more easily to like have infections and stuff with. But just kind of like being knowledgeable of what you're more susceptible to, watching what you eat, really try to practice a well-balanced diet. Some people may recommend intermittent fasting to aid with how your body kind of deals with things, and also understanding like your body types. Like, what kind of body type do you have? Are you endomorphic, ectomorphic, mesomorphic? Understand the diets that are more compatible with your size, and everything can be a good way of starting to like age your physical health.
And how do you find out these things?
Darling, we live in a time where the internet is there. Back in the day,
what are the people who don't have internet?
We have a library still.
Who's going to go to a library to figure out they're ectomorphic?
They have, once again, back in the day, I don't know if you did it, but for me, I had to go to the library.
I did have to go to a library.
And use the Dewey Decimal System order to go down the line and find the book, go and go to the table of contents, go to the back, and try to find out where, on what page, that I need to find the information that I need.
Yes, I've done that. Yeah. Don't talk to me.
I'm just saying. I mean, we would have, the library is free, open, and accessible to anyone.
I was trying to get to the point that you could possibly also go to the doctor.
I mean, yes, you can. You can do that as well. And once again,
Sean was doing the most. You can go to the doctor and figure that out too.
Your doctor, you can go to a nutritionist. There are different, oh my God. Are we getting broken into? What's happening?
They're doing that on purpose.
Blessed Lord. If y'all don't hear from us, just know. I just heard a big bang and that was it. Anyways. But there are different ways of like kind of tackling more awareness towards physical health. And also like being open and having this conversation with, and this includes with mental illness as well, with your family. Have your family talk about what can you guys do to encourage each other and help each other in the processes of trying to remain healthy and trying to remain spiritually whole and everything else. Because we are social creatures and we can't do everything.
We all need support.
Right. We can't do everything alone. Like, technically, we're never doing anything alone. So we need to really lean on the understanding of we need people, but at the same time, remain diligent in filtering out who is actually for you. Don't you agree?
I do agree.
I've never played with you. So then you said poverty. Mm-hmm. What are you drunk already? What's happening?
I'm drinking water.
Are you drunk off the water? Did Jesus turn into wine?
He probably did. Yes, he did.
Amen. Also. So next, what would you recommend for poverty?
For poverty, biblical wise is to give tithes to your church and sow seed. Now just realize not all soil is fertile soil.
Come on.
So if you go to a church and you don't see the spirit moving, ain't nothing really happening, they just I'm playing church, you don't want to sow into that soil. But my thing on that, my advice on that, as far as according to the Bible, is to start off with giving tithes, which is 10% of your income. Give that. That's what he asks us. And that will give you protection. That will monetary protection. Because the devil can attack your money too. So tithes will give you protection for your money.
Okay, outside of a biblical sense?
Outside of a biblical sense, I believe in savings. Because you also have to be a good steward of what God gives you.
I agree.
So, you know, look at your budget. If you can't save anything, then you can't save anything. But for the time being, just actually try to get a budget. You can look online or ask a friend who's good with money to help you budget out your budget, if you're okay with telling them how much you make and all that stuff. But yeah, there's plenty of things. Pinterest has saving bulletin boards and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you have to start being wise with your money.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Creating a realization of what are your needs is one. The realization of what do you actually make is two. And three is understanding when it's time to ask for help, when you have done all that you mentally think that you can do.
And also setting monetary goals. Mm-hmm. will also help you in saving.
Right. And so I feel like with that, you really can't beat that, you know? Like, just if you put it in application, if you know you make $5,000 a month and you know you I was gonna be so shady. I'm gonna be quiet. But if you know you made $5,000 a month and you know you have to pay for food, living. Oh, bless it. Stop it, Shari. Stop it.
You did it, not me. I didn't bring this up.
It made me think about it. I mean, because it fits the moment. You have to pay for you know, your insurances, gas. If you don't live in a city or if you don't have a car and you use public transportation, you still have to pay for it. Most places you still have to pay for public transportation. In knowing what you need, you create a budget, whether you figure it out by Google, by a friend who is money savvy, whether you go to Pinterest to look up different budgeting boards and whatnot to wear, because sometimes it's good to have that visual. Mm-hmm. of everything, and you can customize it however you want. That is where it's more digestible for you. And after you have made this plan using the information of what you need and what you have, then you can set it into gear.
And also, if there's a way for it to be the same amount every month, because there are some savings plans where it's a different amount every week or something, to budget out, it's best to have the same amount every time.
So have a level of consistency. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I feel like with that, you should come out pretty good. And then after you get to a point of saving, not saving, but get to the habit of saving, then you can start creating different projects in which to invest and save your money in, including stocks, mutual funds, IRAs, retirements for situation.
And if you're somebody who isn't very good at controlling themselves, then you need to put your money somewhere where you can't get to it, like a 2-year CD or something, or just put it in an account where you can't easily access it.
Now, for some of us, including myself, what is a CD?
It's basically another, it's just a stock thing, and they'll just invest your money for you over a certain amount of time, like typically a year or 2 years, and you won't be able to take anything out until that 2 years is up.
Nice.
Something like that.
And I know even some, also like, if you can look into having some of your money into a credit union, credit unions typically have lower fees and minimum fees for you to pay, unlike banks. And they a lot of times have higher interest towards your own money, since they are borrowing, since the bank borrows your money from time to time, in comparison to like regular banks. And also to make sure that your credit unions and your banks are federally insured in case something happens as well, and knowing their limits and whatnot, and really read your terms and conditions can be helpful.
And also, as far as another budgeting thing, if you could possibly do 4 different accounts, one for bills, one for fun, one for emergency savings, and one for goals. So all your money is not just in one account. It'll be more easy for you to keep track of things.
Yeah, and I also, like for me sometimes, I feel like it's even easier when I turn around and have it to where, oh, I caught a chill, Lord. Where you allow it to like automatically withdraw from my account and you don't see that money. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like I have like my investments and stuff, like I have it to where it comes out of my account every week and like I don't see that money, but I know that it's over here accumulating.
Yeah,
like I know it's like I know I have like over $1,000 accumulated just in like investments. So it's just like that $5 or $1 every week, I don't see it, and all of a sudden, bam, it's, you know, it's, it can be usable money for me to use if I am in a bind. So, I mean, I think that is useful. And like you said, just having different accounts and not touching it. And even if you can, like have it to where money comes out of your check and automatically goes, like, direct deposit into some of the other accounts already, like a percentage, if not a percentage, do an actual number amount. So like you said, having a consistent number, to have that consistency versus a percentage, then it can probably be more beneficial because it causes you to focus only on the money that is in that one account for you to do whatever you need to do and not touch your emergency or your goal accounts.
Yeah, I think that's a good starter. Take what you want from that. Just know that you can do it.
Exactly.
And you were not meant to be in poverty for your whole life.
Amen. And also educating others and making sure, like, once you get on your feet and help yourself, sharing things with your friends and your family also helps, because sometimes people kind of like keep it to themselves and
I tend to do that
instead of informing others, so that, you know, others can also I want to come up and join you on the not poverty train. So hopefully that gave you some good old help as far as like trying to get started. And also you can like look at people like the Budgetista and whatnot as far as like the gurus, and get different books from some of these people to like kind of help you as well with some of your financial literacy, because that's something that definitely in the Black community that we do struggle with, and trying to break the chain of us being income-based housing and all that kind of stuff, and kind of like going into the whole thought of like we have homes for our children and our grandchildren, and going back to that way of we are able to give to back to next generations and give them the tools that they need in order to progress. And then another thing that you talked about was like the whole homosexuality thing. Mm-hmm. Let's rate the curse of homophobia and transphobia by, and I feel like having like platforms like this kind of helps with that, because it allows education and it allows discussion and allows an openness and for both sides to kind of talk and discuss and realize that the other side is not sinister and evil like some people think. Especially when, one, the Bible never talked about anything about trans folks, and two, the passage where everyone talks about man laying with man was actually the actual translation of it is referring to men having boy brides, because like they would, just like how like back then they would have like young female brides, they would have like little boys, and the little boys would be their brides or whatever, and that's what the passage was actually talking about. But the translation got switched, I believe, by the Germans, who turn around and use the term man with man. And then eventually the translation on down the line shifted from man to man to homosexuality from there. So like kind of understanding that, yes. Now the Bible does say, you know, be careful and don't always give into your flesh and whatnot. But once again, that it can go into literally
anything
that we do on this earth. So, yeah, let's stop being homophobic, y'all. Let's stop being transphobic, because the Bible really does not tell us to like hate these people. The Bible tells us to love everyone, to try to talk to people and to love on one another in order to allow the openness of communication, to like the openness of the spirit, so that more people can be brought into the kingdom and more people can be used for the good of the kingdom. That's what the Bible talks of, and I feel like so much of that is lost, especially when it comes to referring to the LGBTQIA plus community. That's my only thing. You can add what you want.
I have nothing to add.
Because I like to just drop the mic on that one, and that's it for me with that moment. And then also you had also mentioned family structure. So this look on your face, I'm so weak. how would you suggest we work on family structure as far as these single homes that end up being tossed into poverty and end up having a cycle of poverty and mental illness on top of having this like weak structure in a sense?
Okay, so are you talking about family structure or something else?
No, we're talking about the family structure, but I'm saying the family structure typically have components of poverty and mental illness and physical illness involved in it. And some of that is caused by the family structure. So how would you recommend, or what's your thoughts on it, rather?
You need like an open discussion in the family. Whatever the family is, whether it's just mother and child, father and child, they need to know why there's only one parent. So they realize why, and that they don't think it's their fault or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that way they can grow up and not feel like guilty that I don't have a father, I don't have a mother. You just need to know, just have a discussion with them when they're ready, but you need to have that discussion so they realize why there's only one of you and not two of you. But as far as a biblical sense, we need to try to let God guide you to the right people so that you can come together as one flesh.
Come on, equally yoked.
Come
together as one flesh. That sounds so gross. That sounds so gross, but okay. I'm for it.
There are God-sent people. There are some characteristics of God-sent people. And they're typically people who are accepting of your faults. And they typically are there for you. They're for you. They're like a best friend. And they'll just, here, take my money just because you're my friend. Like, those types of people are God-sent people. It's just as far as the characteristics of what you need to be looking for. They will build you up and not tear you down. No matter what situation you're in, what situation they're in, y'all are going to grow together. Do you have anything else to add to the family structure, Shauna?
Stop following these big booty bitches and these big dick motherfuckers, because sometimes they don't be the ones for you. Just because they're there for a good time doesn't mean that they're supposed to be there for a lifetime. That's my thing for like the pre-family structure, because a lot of times people follow their sexual organs. That's the most inclusive way I can say that. They follow their sexual organs, and instead of taking those moments, also proper sex practices, not proper, I wouldn't say proper, because what is a proper sex practice? Safe sex practices are good. It is a very, I was having this discussion with several people recently, actually. It's very disturbing the number of people that are very open to unprotected sex. It's very disturbing. And it's disturbing because it's come to a fact where, like, if you are the person who prefers protected sex, you are looked at as as something is wrong with you. And I'm just like, when did this shift? Because I feel like back in the day, like, I don't know. I just feel like practice safe sex. Stop letting people nut in you. Like, stop nutting to everybody. Like,
both parties are responsible for this.
Right. Say no. Sometimes I know I know rape happens. I am a survivor, I guess survivor of rape, but a victim of rape and whatnot. So I understand rape happens, but there are resources for you. And yeah, and try to use the best judgment as possible. And this is more so like the pre-child phase, because to me the pre-child phase is the most important one, because yeah, and then post-child, like you said, you know, having an open communication of why it's only one of us and why, and kind of allowing the child, especially at a certain age, understand that I wrote my book of history. You don't have to follow the same thing. You can write your own history. Mm-hmm. So don't take my downfalls, don't take my examples. Even though you are a product of me, you are your own being. So like Shahari always says, go forth and prosper.
Exactly.
So definitely, you know, speak that upon your children. And hopefully you can start breaking that cycle of that mental aspect, and hopefully you know, you'll get yourself together to where you can work on your financial, and once you better financially, get your mindset together, and the physical will come, and hopefully your child will be healthy, safe, and well. And yeah, and those are all the points that you brought up, and there are definitely other points that can be brought up as far as generational curses, mm-hmm. but I just wanted to like dive into detail about those that you mentioned, because those are the major ones that people think of, and yeah. So that is pretty much the end. I hope you guys can hear these things. It's very disturbing noises.
It just sounded like moving stuff downstairs, I guess.
That's disturbing still. So Shahari, how do you feel about the discussion today as we wrap up and close?
I was glad that I was able to communicate my thoughts. That means growth is happening.
Definitely.
Yes. But I feel good about it. This was a good topic, and hopefully y'all get something from it.
Exactly. Because this is exactly what this platform is for. Just trying to help the people, and educating all forms and intersections of all that we both represent individually and collectively.
Very well put. Very well said.
I want to say, I actually like that. I need to say as a description for something, actually. But all right. Well, all right. Those are the final words. And
y'all have a good day, evening, night, morning, whenever you're listening.
And until next time.
I'm not saying it. You can say it. I'm not doing all that. Reflection. 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 Reflection.